Cheryl, I think, Greg, you're going to come up together. Why don't you come on up? Good afternoon. Welcome to the committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Cheryl Pellegrini. I'm the attorney in charge of the Department of Justice's Financial Fraud and Consumer Protection Section. The bill before you contains amendments to the state's no-call program. It was implemented by the legislature in the 1999 session, and it was implemented to replace the former black dot provisions that prevented telemarketers from calling individuals who had a black dot by their name. The no-call program essentially is run by a private list administrator, OTA Services, LLC, under contract with the Attorney General. The way the program works is that individuals pay $6.50 for the first year, $3 for every year thereafter, to register phone numbers on the list. The list administrator publishes the list on a monthly basis. Telemarketers seeking to telemarket into Oregon have to obtain a copy of the list before beginning telephone solicitations. They pay $120 a year. A couple of things have come up. The program's been in operation for a year now, and a couple of things have come up, and the issues are spotted on the first page of the written testimony I provided. Two main issues. One, there are some small telemarketers, and I think that Mr. Campbell will address it a little bit more, and nonprofits who still use call lists that are organized alphabetically by name. Currently, the list that is published under the no-call program contains the telephone numbers only of parties who are registering for the program. And it's been hard for smaller telemarketers to quickly implement the list and screen out numbers as they're added. So the first thing that 2212 does, and it was in conjunction with Mr. Campbell's group, is that it provides for the names of parties who have registered for the list to be appended to the list of phone numbers to assist those smaller telemarketers in more quickly complying. Second thing is that the that 2212 does is that the terms of the contract between the private list administrator and the Attorney General's office provide that the list administrator has to give to the Attorney General's office on a periodic basis the whole database. And this is just as a safety precaution in event that the something were to happen to the administrator and we would have to rebid the contract out. So that means that the Department of Justice has in its possession the names, addresses, phone numbers, and other personal information, including credit card numbers, of people who have signed up for the program. We believe that that information would be exempt from disclosure under the public records law under a few existing exemptions. But to just clarify, the second thing that House Bill 2212A does is that it makes clear that that information held by the Attorney General is confidential and not subject to disclosure. In addition, there are two technical changes, one that provides that the renewal period for consumers is the anniversary date that you signed up for the list on. Not phrased very well, instead of a calendar year basis. Second technical change is that the list is currently being published on a monthly basis, and HB 2212 would provide that it would be published on a quarterly basis instead. And I can tell you that of the 7 or 8 no-call programs around the country currently operating, that they do publish on a quarterly basis. So that's the short story of the bill before you.
Okay, Mr. Campbell.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Craig Campbell. I'm here on behalf of the Oregon Association Chiefs of Police and JDANT, Inc., which is one of the small soliciting telephone soliciting companies that Ms. Pellegrini mentioned. I'll start off with a real, it's a kind of a nice story that we came across as we were working on this issue. Apparently, a few years ago at the Seattle Special Olympics, there was a 100-yard dash event. And there were 9 runners, and each of them had some form of special disability. The gun went off, and the 9 runners started to run for the finish line. All of them were pretty engaged about getting to that finish line first, except shortly after the start of the race, one of the runners fell and tumbled and started to cry. And hearing this this young man crying, the other 8 runners, all of them, turned around, stopped, and came back to the runner, helped him up, and one of the girls who was in the race who had Down syndrome gave him a kiss on the forehead and said, that'll make it better. And then they locked arms and all walked across the finish line together. It's kind of a nice story. You can take from it whatever life lessons you want. But in reference to House Bill 2212, Special Olympics is one of those solicitation organizations that does its own soliciting and was having trouble with the language of the law that was passed last session. And first of all, I'd like to thank the Department of Justice and Ms. Pellegrini particularly for their efforts to work with us to find a fix. Essentially what happens is many of the smaller solicitors have to go off, as she said, alphabetical listings, often phone books themselves. And since the only information that the Department of Justice felt they could release was phone numbers, it's almost impossible to pull those names and numbers out of there just based on the phone number. And so House Bill 2212, aside from other things that it does, allows the Department of Justice to provide us with a name along with that phone number, so it's very easy for us to then draw it out of the list. Because the goal is not to catch solicitors. It's really designed to prevent solicitors from calling people who don't want to be bothered. And House Bill 2212 takes care of that problem, and we would encourage your support of the bill. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Are there any questions for, yes, Senator Metzger?
Yeah, I would be curious just for the opinion of Ms. Pellegrini and Mr. Campbell. This is a good opportunity to take a look at 2212 and some of the old provisions of it. One of the provisions in the current law that are exempted from the no-call list are you cannot tell someone that you don't want to be called for political calls or to solicit information or exchange ideas. I'm curious, maybe Ms. Pellegrini, you could give me your opinion first. If we amended that to delete that exception, I just wondered what your thought would be on that, or if you think that someone who doesn't want to receive calls of any kind should be allowed to not receive any calls.
Mr. Chair, Senator Metzger, as you correctly point out, when the bill was amended in 1999, none of the exemptions were amended, so those all date back from 1989,
yeah. Right.
When the black dot provisions were initially enacted. You know, the Attorney General Myers we didn't seek any of those amendments. I don't know that the Department of Justice would be opposed to fewer exemptions because, in our mind, that would provide greater protection for consumers. Although, as to the solicitation of ideas, opinions, or votes, I just would be a little bit concerned about whether or not that may run into some First Amendment concerns.
But we're talking about an affirmative action by the individual to say, I don't want to be called. It's not...
That's right. It's not a government action.
It's not government action. They're saying, I don't want...
Right. Here's
your opinion, Mr. Campbell.
Mr. Chair, Senator Metzger, having not given it a lot of thought before now, I do know if it generally when it applies to something along the lines of polling or research where they're calling and asking a series of questions about the way perhaps a consumer to respond to a product or something along those lines is a valuable tool that's often used. Unfortunately, it would be hard for me to figure out why somebody saying they don't want to be called would create a problem if it were an affirmative action on behalf of the person rather than a default that you can't call,
right.
And then they would be
exempted
out.
Right.
Dealing with the political side of it, again, I really don't know how that would, it certainly wouldn't affect our client one way or the other.
If I may, Mr. Chair,
yes,
Senator Metzger, you raise a real good issue. The way, I think that what the original provisions or this law targets mostly are cold calls, mm-hmm. You know, where there's no prior relationship between the caller and the recipient, and where the clear intent is to obtain from the recipient something that they have not asked for. I suppose that opinion polls or market surveys could easily fall into that category.
Well, I'm just curious, Mr. Chair, because I think I know Mr. Campbell too, being and certainly involved with this, and it's interesting when. At different times, especially during, you know, the political arena where, you know, people do a lot of automated phone calls, which there's nobody on the other end, and sometimes they are, you know, phone banks and calling that people who have asked not to be called. And sometimes those of us who have been involved in that get some very negative reactions from those, you know, who say, I don't want to be called, I don't want to be bothered. And then are not happy to find out, well, you know, we can call you for this. You know, they don't like that exemption.
Mr. Chair, Senator Metzger, we received actually a couple of complaints in the office over the election cycle last time around from people who had signed up for the list that were, they're mostly opinion polls about various measures, and we told them that they couldn't block those particular calls.
Well, one of the things, Mr. Chair, if I could, you know, one of the things, I mean, I think just recently, just the last number of days that we've seen, you know, in this building, you know, it's, you know, you know, making calls or harassing calls to others, you know, and if, or giving their opinions on issues, and, but not subject to that, that list. And, if they're unsolicited, and they have affirmatively said, I don't want to be solicited, just wondering about the difference on that.
Any other questions for?
A question for me, for you.
Yes.
Are you wanting to pursue this a little bit more?
Probably not. But.
Okay. I'm going to close the public hearing on House Bill 2212A. I think I'm going to open a work session on House Bill 2212A.
Mr. Chairman, House Bill 2212A to the Senate floor with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Courtney moves House Bill 2212A to the House floor with a due pass recommendation. Any discussion? Any objection? House Bill 2212A will be sent to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Would you like to carry it? And you can discuss some of your concerns. And
no, that's all right.
You don't want to carry it?
No. Well, I don't mind carrying it. Sure, I'll carry it. No, okay. I'll be happy to carry it, but I don't need it to discuss the concern.
Okay. Okay. I'm closing the work session on 2212A, opening a public hearing on House Bill 3159. Anyone here to testify on House Bill 3159? Okay.
Mark.
Yes, Mr. Fox from the Oregon Economic and Community Development. Good afternoon. Welcome to committee.
Good afternoon, Chair Duncan and members of the committee. My name is Ron Fox. I'm Business and Industry Manager for the Oregon Economic and Community Development Department, and I'd like to just take a couple of minutes to provide you with thoughts on House Bill 3159 and indicate the department's support for this minor change in the provisions that permit the department and its investments to be used for infrastructures that lead to advances in Oregon's maybe knowledge-based industries and technologies. The bill, as you know, comes from recommendations from the Oregon Internet Commission, which conducted a survey and an analysis of the e-commerce potentials. It also provides language for the department, which fits well with other new economy or knowledge-based initiatives that are underway to broaden the focus of the department's investments to achieve economic benefits in an advancing internet and knowledge-based economy. So it provides the necessary tools to permit our commission to direct investments that serve the purposes of Oregon's communities. Thank you very much.
Okay, are there any questions for Mr. Fox? Anyone else wish to testify? I guess that'll be all.
Thank you very much.
Anyone else wish to testify on House Bill 3159? Hearing none, I'll close the public hearing on House Bill 3159. Open a work session on House Bill 3159.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Courtney.
I move House Bill 3159 to the Senate floor with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Courtney moves House Bill 3159 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? Any objection? House Bill 3159 will be sent to the floor with a due pass recommendation. I'm going to close. Oh, I'm going to carry you.
Okay, Mr.
Senator Courtney will carry the bill then. Okay. Closing the work session on House Bill 3159, I'm going to open a public hearing on House Bill 3374A, Representative Hill's bill. Is anyone planning to testify? Administrator, please brief us on the bill.
Well, Chair Duncan, members of the committee, this bill comes to you from Representative Hill and Representative Patridge. It permits public bodies to receive and accept communications or transactions electronically. It doesn't prohibit those bodies from requiring I mean, it does prohibit public bodies from requiring only electronic delivery, and this basically unifies current statute.
Okay. I'm going to close the public hearing on House Bill 3374A, and I'm going to open a work session on 3374A.
Chair, I move House Bill 3374A to the Senate floor with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Courtney moves House Bill 3374A to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? Hearing none. Is there any objection? House Bill 3374A will be sent to the floor with a due pass recommendation. How about Senator Atkinson? Would you carry the bill? Okay. Closing the work session on 3374A, opening a public hearing on Senate Bill 765.
It's back.
We've been here before. Okay. Okay. Well, would the Penn Hollow and the Penn Wells come forward?
Penn Hollow, Penn Well.
Good afternoon. Welcome.
Thank you. Yes, the Penwell and Penn Hollow from Cornish County are here to testify today. Just to give you a little background, remind you of where we are in this process. We had a public hearing and a work session a week ago, and the committee adopted the Dash 5 amendments, but with the encouragement of Senator Courtney and other committee members, we went back and re-looked at the fiscal impact of the amendments that were adopted, because this bill at this time does have a subsequent referral to Ways and Means, and we were wanting to work with the committee to eliminate the fiscal impact and see if we could not get the referral lifted and send the bill directly to the Senate floor. Mr. Chair, members of the committee, I met with Ms. Penwell and Mr. Hansen from DAS this past week, and we've worked out the Dash 6 amendments, which I'll let them speak to the fiscal significance of it, but as I would translate that, we've taken away the impact that was there. This is something that they could provide for the staffing of this council within the proposed budget for the next biennium. What we have done, Mr. Chair, the main change in the Dash 6 amendments are on page 2, lines 10 through 17, where previously we had set forth one member from the Oregon Community Development, Economic and Community Development Commission as a member of this interim task force. In working with Ms. Penwell, we agreed that it would be better to tie in members from the Oregon or from the Connecting Oregon Communities Advisory Board that has a responsibility for administering Senate Bill 622 from the last session and the infrastructure investments that Quest is making statewide. So that is the change in the Dash 6 amendments. We have added two members from that advisory board to the council, so that the overall number on the coordinating council would increase from 11 to 12. And let me stop there and see if there are any questions.
So all the parties at this point are in agreement with these changes.
Mr. Chair, Doris Penwell from Economic and Community Development. The department is in accord with the changes to the bill, and we would agree that it substantially reduces the fiscal impact. So, yes, we agree to these. I could explain a little more about why we think it helps to coordinate the work, if you'd like. We have the Connecting Oregon Communities Advisory Board operating clear through this next biennium. And they will obviously have expertise and thoughts on how we might move forward beyond the 622 responsibilities. And we don't want to set up a system where we might have those things that they would be dealing with and recommending going on a separate track from something that the coordinating council might be also doing. So we'd like to try to, wherever we can, either meet together to coordinate the work of this and the recommendations from this group, or at least have some or all of the members from the coordinating council with this, with the connecting origin.
So we have some continuity in
the continuity, and if we have to do the staffing, it comes from the same source and the same expertise that we already have. Now, you understand that Quest is the funder of our staffing for these purposes. And so I think it's important that they understand and agree to whatever we do, you know, in this regard. I talked to Jenny Lang from that agency, and they in concept agreed that this might be a better working relationship for all involved. She's not here today, but maybe someone else could speak for her. I'm not sure.
Okay. Right. I was just wondering, Rick, do you want to add anything here to your knowledge about the fiscal impact or anything? Are we going to keep it under the $50,000?
Chair Duncan, members of the committee, my name is Rick Hansen from the Department of Administrative Services. We've been in communication with Economic Development and Bill Penhall from AOC about this for some time. And the task force, as it's created in this bill, is something that we would choose to participate in regardless of whether we were assigned any staffing responsibilities. And in talking to Bill at some length about what we envision the task force is going to do and the frequency of their meetings and the like, we don't believe that the staffing burden that would be placed on us would be significant. So we're happy with it as it is.
Okay. Any questions for any of the... Okay, I'll close the public hearing then. Senate Bill 765, I'm going to open a work session on 765. Marjorie, do you want to brief just a second on... Excuse me, Senator Courtney?
I was going to move that we suspend the rules for purposes of considering our previous vote on Senate Bill 765.
Okay, Senator Courtney moves the rules to be suspended for the purpose of reconsidering the vote on House Bill 765. Is there any discussion on that question? Okay, those of the opinion that the rules should be suspended for the purpose of reconsidering the vote on Senate Bill 765 will vote aye. Is there any objection? Hearing none. Motion carries, and the rules have been suspended.
I move that we reconsider the previous vote on Senate Bill 765.
Senator Courtney moves that we reconsider the vote by which we reconsidered Senate Bill 765, which we sent to a form of the DPAS recommendation. No, we didn't. No. We
dash 5.
To add the dash 5. Okay. Is there any discussion? Okay, those are the opinion that we should reconsider the vote by which we consider the dash fives. Is there any objection to that? There are none. Those of the opinion. Okay, the motion carries and the vote will be reconsidered. Okay, there we go. Senator Courtney.
I move the dash six amendments to Senate Bill 765.
Senator Courtney moves the dash six amendments to 765. Is there any discussion? Hearing none, is there any objection? The dash six amendments have been adopted to Senate Bill 765. Senator Courtney.
We're ready to move.
Marjorie, do you want any comments you want to make?
Chair Duncan, members of the committee, you still have to rescind the subsequent referral to Ways and Means. Senator Courtney knew that.
We reconsider that we rescind the subsequent referral to Ways and Means.
Senator Courtney moves that we rescind the subsequent referral to Ways and Means. Is there any discussion? Hearing none.
Mr. Chair,
any objection? Senator Courtney.
Mr. Chair, I move that Senate Bill 765 is amended. be approved, Senate Bill 765 is amended, and it goes to the DuPage, and Senate for the DuPage recommendation.
Senator Courtney moves 765, Senate Bill 765 is amended, be sent to the floor with a DuPage recommendation. Is there any discussion? Any objection? Senate Bill 765 as amended will be sent to the floor with a DuPage recommendation. My goodness, that turned out to be easier than we thought.
Is that a lead by or carry?
I think Senator Courtney. Right, Senator Courtney. Anything else to come before this? If not, the meeting is adjourned. Mr. Friday.